There's a food issue in the United States right now, in my opinion, which has to do with foods that are approved for use here, but banned in other countries. Today on Ask Dr. Gill, I want to talk about some of the potentially toxic foods to our bodies that you may be unknowingly eating. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winckelmann. And for those of you who are new to the podcast, I discuss lots of issues related to holistic health that straddle science and more of the spirituality, energetic side of things. I am very much grounded in science. I just happen to believe that many of the things that we suspect that haven't been proven might be true. And as an example, many of the, and I've talked about this on other shows, there are traditions within indigenous societies that have proven to be true later, and things that they've done that seemed far out and crazy actually are helpful for either the body or the environment and so forth. So that's kind of my goal, is to help bring many of the things that maybe we don't know yet that are important to have an open mind to, because there is definitely some anecdotal evidence to suggest that something may or may be helpful to us or may be harmful to us, depending on it. And today on the podcast, I want to talk about this because this topic that we're going to talk about in terms of food is applicable in this regard. And it's really interesting how the way that food is approved or not approved in different countries is based on a different way of looking at the science, if you will. And this topic, by the way, before we jump into it, I just want to say this isn't to be political or alarmist. It's just information. The first thing is that I think is important to recognize is that in the United States, there's an attitude of generally regarded as safe. It's called GRAS. That's actually a term used by the FDA. And with food, unless there's something that's proven to be harmful, most of the time it's allowed. Whereas some of the other countries, particularly the European Union and Japan, they take a more, I'll say, conservative approach in that the food needs to be proven safe before it can be allowed. And part of this has to do with the way studies are done. So sometimes, some of these things that we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about in terms of that there are studies that show that there are potential detriments to the body. Some of those are in animals, though. And it's important to recognize that. But I also think we need to be looking at this from a standpoint that is a little more aggressive, particularly if you have a chronic illness. Because oftentimes what happens with people is it's not any one thing that's causing the problem. It's a buildup of lots of things over time. And as an example of this in terms of food, is that microplastics are showing up in cows to the point where some of them are actually dying because they have so much toxicity in them. Now, why is it that some cows die and not others? It probably has to do with individual variants in terms of your or their ability to clear the toxins. And that's the same with people. I've seen this with patients. Some patients can eat all kinds of things and not have a problem, and their livers are able to clear lots of things out. And I've seen other people where if they have, you know, one drop of a preservative, their whole system is thrown out for weeks. And everyone's different in that regard. And this is where I think it's important to work on helping your body, reducing toxic load, and then helping the body sort of move through things, you know, relatively quickly using something like biotherapeutic drainage. You can check my website for more information about that. There is a podcast about it as well. So I have a list, and if you want to get this handout, I'm going to put this up there on my website, and I'll put a link in the show notes to where it is, because I think this is a handy, quick helper. And it's different than, say, the Dirty Dozen or the Clean 15, because it's not about pesticides. That is also an issue, and I think that that is something that needs to be discussed as well. But for today, I'm just going to focus on particular food additives that are used in different things as part of, I'll say, food science. The thing about these is probably, for example, I'll talk about brominated vegetable oil, BVO. That's added to citrus sodas and sports drinks. Having one of those probably isn't going to be an issue. But if you're having it all the time, it's definitely could be an issue. And this is why it's been banned in the European Union and Japan. It accumulates in fat tissues, and it probably is affecting our thyroids and our nervous system. And, you know, the thing about BVO that's interesting is that it's not something that necessarily is necessary for the product to be good. There are other alternatives. They use those alternatives in other countries. Now, for those of you who drink those things, you may say, well, they don't taste as good or whatever. And that could be. But given that it's in something that's generally not healthy, I would try and avoid it as much as possible, given the issues that, particularly with the thyroid, that seem to be showing up in the studies. Again, these are mostly animal studies. Part of the problem with doing human studies has to do with safety concerns. So you don't want to knowingly expose someone to something that is potentially toxic. That is actually against human research standards. The other problem is that there's not an easy way to sort of discern it in a human setting, whereas you can do that in animal labs. In other words, you can isolate the diet of animals and expose them to certain things specifically, which you can't do with humans. So there's that as well. And that's part of the reason why human studies aren't done. So the closest thing we have is animal studies. And I think oftentimes that's an important factor in it. And we do this with other things, by the way, do this with pharmaceuticals. It's just that we do the pharmaceutical testing with humans, and it's a little easier to isolate in terms of the theory because you're generally only giving one pill to people, but that's not always the case. So it's a whole other topic. But okay, so next thing is potassium bromate, which is added to flour and often sometimes pizza dough, any kind of thing that's like has a nice texture, you know, that flour that has that. This, by the way, has been in food supply for about 100 years, but the European Union, the United Kingdom, Canada, I believe Japan too, has banned this because of potential carcinogenic effects in the body. And there are some companies that do not use this because they say it doesn't actually make that much of a difference. And it is, in their opinion, it isn't safe. Some companies in the United States, most of the time, I believe the flour is labeled with this. And I don't think any organic flour has it. So keep that in mind. If you're eating organic, I think you're safe, but check the label. And then found in cereals, snacks, and chips is BHA and BHT, also banned in the EU and Japan. Definitely has neurotoxicity and hormone disruption. We've known this for at least 40 years, and if not more, maybe 50, that this is a problem. And it's used as a preservative. So there are other things that can be used to help preserve foods. Again, if you're eating organic, you're not going to find this in there. And another one that's interesting is, I'm going to probably butcher the name, ractopamine, which is added to meat as a way to get better yield in terms of how much the animal grows. And it's been banned in over 160 countries because of it's found, what we find is when there's the animals are injected with that, it actually shows up in the meat and it can cause behavioral issues, heart issues, possibly neurological issues as well. And the simple solution is going to organic or pasture raised meats or vegetarian if you can't afford that. This is actually one of those things that could be very, very serious. And we could do a whole conversation about meat supply in the United States and some of the problems with it. I recently learned that some chicken is fed feed that is high in arsenic, which then also shows up in the chicken. This is an issue for all kinds of problems. I mean, arsenic is a known poison, carcinogen to the body. And if it's accumulating in the meat, it's going to accumulate in your body as well. And I'm not sure why we haven't done anything about it yet. And some of these are going to be harder than others to deal with. For example, the microplastics in the cows, that's showing up because it's in the environment, right? And it the accumulation is happening in humans too. If you listen back to the B6 conversation, this may be why some people are having reactions to B6, because B6 is used for many, many of the detox reactions in the body. And if your body is having trouble getting rid of something and you add B6 and then it starts these detox reactions, but it has nowhere to go, that's going to create symptoms. Colors and dyes, most of those are banned in other countries. And the problem is that it's been linked to hyperactivity and immune stress. There's a clear connection with ADHD and artificial dyes and colors. And the issue is so bad that the American Pediatric Association, not an organization that is known for holistic practices, they actually testified years ago in Congress about this and wanted the FDA to ban them. I think they got one of them banned, but not all of them. And really, these are problematic in a lot of ways. And just as an aside, a lot of cheeses that are yellow use artificial dyes, but some of them use something called annatto, which is natural, but it also can cause ADD symptoms in some children. So that's something to keep in mind if you have a kiddo who's struggling with ADHD or ADD, is it could be what they're eating. So, and then the one that surprised me was the farmed salmon, which some of them have synthetic dyes and PCBs, which is a chemical. This is an interesting one. And it's not all farmed salmon, just so you know. And some of them are given antibiotics and some of them aren't, because they're basically in a cage. They don't have a lot of space, so there's illness, so they put that in the water to help with that. I don't want to throw all farm salmon under the bus here, because there are some salmon that's farmed in a way that is more sustainable and safer for consumption. But it is something to keep in mind, particularly given that the quality of the meat is not as good. It will end up looking gray, and they actually inject a dye into the meat, into the fish, to make it look different. And that sort of kind of makes you wonder about that. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. The second half of the show, I'm going to talk more about what you can do about this. So stay tuned. Hello, and welcome back to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And just as a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to send me an email to info@askdrgill.com. So today we're talking about foods that are banned in different countries, but not the United States. And just as a reminder, if you look in the show notes, I'll have a link to a download where it talks about the 10 most common foods and what their problems are. And I went through a bunch of them on this, but you can have it as a cheat sheet for yourself and just as a reminder so you know what to look for. Okay, so why does this matter? Well, a lot of additives, whatever they are, and a lot of processed foods increase inflammation, stress the liver, and disrupt gut-brain balance. And they disrupt sort of intestinal permeability in some cases too. So chronic exposure can lead to all kinds of health problems, including anxiety, ADD, mood swings, migraines, energy is low, you name it, it can happen. So what is it? What can you do about this? Well, the best thing to do is to avoid these things. Read labels. And generally, if a label has a lot of ingredients in it, you want to avoid it. And this is a really interesting one because I have patients for years, I would say, you need a gluten-free diet. And they would replace bread, let's say, with a gluten-free bread. And if you look at the label of gluten-free bread, a lot of these are very, very long. And I remember having this discussion with a patient. He's like, isn't that a bad idea? I was like, yeah, I think you're right. It is a bad idea. And look at the length of things. And oftentimes you can find, and I'll pick on gluten-free bread for a moment. You can find the product doesn't have a lot of ingredients on it versus another one that might have a lot. So that's the first thing. The other thing is eat minimally processed foods. And if possible, choose organic, because anything that is processed is going to have something that it potentially have more in it that is harmful to you. When you cook at home, it is better than going out. almost 100% of the time. Exceptions to that, usually they're expensive restaurants. I will just say that, because real food does cost more in the United States, unfortunately. I actually was talking to a friend a couple of days ago who was talking to, he was telling me about a conversation he had with this Uber driver who was from India. And he asked him, so do you like the United States? And the driver responded, well, it's been okay, but I'm going back home. And the reason is the food here is not very good. It's not good for you. And it was really interesting to hear that, because there are definitely problems with the food supply in India as well, which I don't want to get into. I have traveled in other countries and found that the food is much tastier, much fresher, and there's definitely better quality of ingredients as a rule than what I find here. And I think, you know, again, reading the labels, cooking at home, making sure that you're getting the colors of the rainbow, those are the things in terms of what you put into your system is really important. The other thing is have a liver detox, a regimen that you do of some sort. And it doesn't have to be fancy or expensive. It can be as simple as rubbing castor oil on your belly and doing castor oil packs daily and doing sauna, something that's going to help your body eliminate the toxins, because you are getting them. And it doesn't matter where you are at this point, by the way. There are always impurities and things that are dangerous to our bodies in the environment, and they're getting on there. And it could be from your food. It can be from the air. If you live near a busy street, for example, you're getting all kinds of things coming from the exhaust. So you want to make sure that you're doing stuff to help your body detoxify. This is a really important piece to maintain optimal health. And I think that we view medicine in this country where we don't do anything until there's a problem. And I would say the best thing to do is to help your body in terms of prevention, making sure that you're doing things to prevent illness. So we'll say that. That's what I got for you today. If you have any questions or comments, again, feel free to send me an email to info@askdrgill.com. And of course, check out my website. And if you like the show, please leave a review. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.